Joining us once again from Fox Sports, their number one A-League commentator and a man who's got his head across everything that's going on in the world game, Simon Hill's on the line. Hi, Simon. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Now, the news today about the expansion of the World Cup has been greeted by a quote that I've seen from you saying that FIFA has to be scrapped.
Yep, it does.
Why?
Well, because basically, you know, we've still got the same old FIFA. They're dealing with things that don't need to be fixed when the things that do need to be fixed are the openness and transparency or lack thereof of the game's governing body. And instead, what we've had overnight is the new FIFA Council, an expanded version of the Executive Committee, quite how they were elected or more probably selected, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
But they voted unanimously to expand the World Cup to a frankly ludicrous 48 teams. And this is basically to appease a lot of the nations around the world because it will create more money, which will be distributed to them. And therefore, in the end, they will vote for the guy who got them that money, and that is Gianni Infantino, who is the new president. So essentially, in my opinion, I stress it is only my opinion. I agree that, you know, a lot of people will have a different view, but this is the same old FIFA operating on the same old principles as Sepp Blatter and Joao Havelange going back decades. And it's why really the governing body needs to be ripped up and started again, in my opinion.
From what I can gather from your summation there is that this has been done purely for money, not necessarily for the betterment of the game, which makes me wonder why David Gallop would come out, and I see a quote from him saying this is a reflection of the growth of the game around the globe. Well, that may be true, but is it something that we need to do?
Well, look, I'm a bit disappointed with that statement, to be honest, from the FFA. I think it's probably a politically expedient statement, which, again, sums up the problem with football at world level.
Yep.
Countries like Australia, and we're by no means alone, feel as though they have to toe the right political line because, of course, they don't want to be punished either financially or otherwise by head office. And this is why the structure is all wrong. It needs outsiders to come in for an interim period, in my opinion, maybe for as long as 10 years, to actually run the game on behalf of the game and for the good of the game, rather than to line people or associations' pockets. And they're doing that in this particular instance by expanding a product that at the moment is absolutely perfect. If anything, it's probably still a bit too big at 32, but it's just about manageable. To blow it out to 48 teams is not only going to dilute the quality of the finals itself, but also it's going to make large swathes of qualifying redundant. Now, that is actually going to cost FFA, just for example, potentially a huge amount of money. Now, if this, just to give you one example here, if this qualifying method was in place at the moment, from what we understand, the divvy up would be 8.5 places to Asia. At the moment, we have 4.5 in our region. If it was 8.5, then Australia would be almost qualified already.
Yeah.
And that means that we've got 3 home games coming up that would be essentially dead rubbers. How on earth do you sell that? Not only to TV broadcasters, but to the public.
Yeah, I mean, we've soccer fans understand the concept friendly, but not in that concept.
No. Exactly. There would be glorified friendlies. And,
yeah.
You know, you would also have the problem if you virtually qualified, as Australia, you know, would be in theory now. What's to stop European clubs saying to their players, listen, you don't need to go back to all the way to Sydney to, you know, to play that game. You're virtually there anyway. So you would essentially be left with B teams, or at least, you know, a large chunk of players that were not the top players. How on earth does that help the development of the game? In one of the other regions of the world, South America, the proposal is to up their qualification from 4 slots to 6. Now, they only have 10 countries that operate in one of the toughest qualifying zones in the world. If you're going to give 60% of them places, you know, that makes dilutes it to a huge degree as well. It makes no sense.
So what's the upside? Why would you make that? I know you forget the money for a minute, but why would you make that decision to bring 16 teams in that makes your competition weaker?
Well, the theory is that you open it up to more nations in the world to compete on the big stage, and I sort of understand that. We've seen it on a lower level with the European Championships. You might know that was expanded from 16 to 24 teams in 2016. So we had, you know, the likes of Iceland, Wales, Northern Ireland, countries who haven't qualified for tournaments for quite a long time, and they got their chance at the top table. And look, I'm not saying that that wasn't great for those nations concerned, but the trend that emerged from the European Championships was that defensive football won the day, because nations like Iceland, with the greatest respect, they have a small population. Their way to get success in the big tournaments is to play a defensive style of football and try and, you know, nick goals on the counter-attack. Now, it worked brilliantly for them. But I don't think long-term that creates a better spectacle. Now, that's only my opinion. Yeah. Others might disagree, but that's the way I see it.
Would if we weren't in that 32, would you feel differently?
No, because, you know, qualifying for a World Cup is supposed to be difficult. You know, Kev, there's a reason why that game against Uruguay in 2005 resonated and still resonates with so many people.
Yep.
And that's because we had to wait such a long time to qualify. And it was so difficult to qualify that when we got there, it felt like winning the World Cup itself. It was such a great night. And finally, you know, we achieved something, and it meant something tangible because it was damn difficult to achieve. Now, if you're going to take that away, if we're just going to qualify every 4 years and, you know, go and play two games and then we come back home or whatever, well, to me, that takes away. You know, it's supposed to be special. We went into Asia because it was it offered a more difficult, a fairer route, but a more difficult route in terms of playing more qualifiers in different conditions, and it was supposed to be a real test. That's the barometer of sporting achievement, isn't it? If everybody gets a ticket for taking part, then where's the point?
Yeah, and you're right, and that you're right about that game. That does it was like winning the World Cup, because it did mean so much to so many people. And this doesn't make it a better World Cup by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, I don't know that it won't kill the finals off. When you get to the finals, it'll still be good, but the preamble and that will just be almost what's killing so many sports these days is too many meaningless games.
Correct. And look, I'm not going to pick specifically on cricket. I'm going to use it as an example.
It's not a bad example, Simon.
I love cricket. I grew up with it. I love watching the Ashes. I used to love watching the one-day finals when I was back in England. I commentated on a few back in the day. But the proliferation of one-day triangular tournaments and 2020 and seemingly meaningless test series as well, I can't keep up with it, and I have so little interest in it these days because it just seems as though we have 7 days a week, 365 days a year cricket, and not all of it really means anything outside of the Ashes. That's how I see it.
Yeah, no, I'd hate to see the same thing happen. I mean, I sometimes struggle with the amount of friendlies that soccer has when teams come from all around the world to come here. I can understand some of that, but sometimes you do think, oh, do we really need another, you know, a series of four games between sides when it doesn't mean anything, but it is a chance to see some of the big names from overseas. That's the carrot there. But, yeah, we've got to have games where they actually mean something.
Well, exactly. And you know, as I say, this is the reason we went into Asia in the first place, was to get more meaningful games. And to be fair, they have been. But if you're going to say that 8.5 teams, and you know, this is the key here, Kev, and I'm not sure too many people have picked this up, but if you have 8.5 teams qualifying out of Asia, guess which two nations, have a guess, are ranked 8 and 9 in Asia at the moment? Have a guess.
Oh, well, there'll be Asian nations, I would imagine.
Yeah, in the AFC, I mean, sorry. In the Asian Football Confederation. The two countries are China and Qatar.
Right.
Now, those are the sort of nations that FIFA would absolutely love to have at the World Cup. And they don't qualify. In fact, China's qualified once. Qatar has never qualified. You get those two nations in the World Cup, all of a sudden, what happens? You've got a whole lot more money.
Yeah, it all comes back down to the mighty dollar, isn't that? Yes, isn't that weird about that, Simon? Geez, wouldn't have picked that in a million years.
Wonderful.
Simon, as always, terrific to catch up with you. Look forward to watching the A-League on Fox Sports over the weekend.
Cheers, Kev. Have a good week, mate.
Simon Hill there joining us from Fox Sports with the news that the World Cup going from 32 to 48 teams.